are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October the 17th, and we're all done with the preseason. Bring on the real basketball. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. I'm going to have to change that. It's like over, I don't know, 15 years, 12 years, something like that, 50,000 years, long time that I've been writing about sports for newspapers and such. But I appreciate you guys making us part of your off season, and we're almost going to be part of your season as we are less than one week away from Pistons basketball. Today, we are going to run down the details of Monday's preseason finale. Doesn't that sound great? Preseason finale and a win, even better, at the Charlotte Hornets. And I've got three thoughts from the preseason as we put it to bed and move on a little bit. I'm also going to break down the 15th spot on the roster, a new name the Pistons fans seem to think is on his way out of town. But we're also looking for your predictions, bold or otherwise. Call us on the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. We'll play those up until the start of the season, so we got a spot for you at the end of the show. Leave it under 2 minutes. Leave your name, where you're calling from as well. 810-666-1546. Please do that. Also, give us a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, aptly handled Locked On Pistons. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. One more plug, and it's kind of a vague one. There is a very cool and very good announcement coming from the Locked On Podcast Network that you should check out. It will be announced on Thursday morning. So look for that. A new show. And that's all I'm going to say about that. New basketball show. And it's going to be very cool. Weekly show with some people you've heard of in the basketball world. And pretty cool that we're partnering with these folks on the Locked On Podcast Network. So keep a look out for that. And check my feeds, because I'll be retweeting that at some point as well. But the Pistons topped the Charlotte Hornets on Wednesday on the road, the second half of a back-to-back. And the last game of the Pistons preseason, 116-110 was the final score. Pistons finish 3-2 in the preseason. The Hornets actually had a 13-0 run late in the fourth quarter, closing the gap to 3 points, and then some scrub threw a three off the backboard after Jordan Bone missed the inbounds pass. Kind of a disaster there for the Grand Rapids Drive players, as the Pistons were having a tough time finishing it off, and like I said, closing minutes of the game, so obviously these were all end of the roster for the preseason type of guys, Grand Rapids Drive type of guys, so we'll see if the boys get more poise throughout the year down in the G League. But the Pistons on Wednesday were without Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, Derrick Rose, and Luke Kennard. So really four of the best shot creators on this roster, probably the four best shot creators on this roster. So you can kind of imagine how this one went. But led in the way of points by Langston Galloway, 18 points off the bench in his finest preseason effort of the season, 5-for-13 from three, letting it fly. Young man Langston Galloway getting it done. 17 points apiece for Markieff Morris and Andre Drummond, both starters in this one. 15 boards for Drummond, 27 minutes for some reason. Tim Frazier got the start with Jackson and Rose out in this one, played 35 minutes, scored 15 points and had 12 assists, was outstanding in this one against obviously a little bit lower of competition, A, on the NBA scale, and that the Hornets are a really bad team, but they also had a couple of guys out as well. And yes, Tim Frazier, a clear upgrade over Jose Calderon. I think we can agree on that. Christian Wood, another strong game, 12 points and 9 rebounds. The Pistons, unlike their last couple games, jacked up a bunch of threes, 14 of 41 on three-pointers, 34%. Those numbers more towards Dwayne Casey's liking, as they were in the low 20s the last couple games in terms of attempts, with bad percentages as well. For Charlotte, and Jamie Abrego, Malik Monk had 18 points off the bench. Like I said, Terry Rozier, Nick Batum, Marvin Williams, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Bismack Biyombo, all those guys didn't play for Jamie Abrego and the Hornets. The starting point guard battle tonight was Devontae Graham and Tim Frazier, which screams to me that the preseason needs to end, and we finally got our wish as the preseason is officially done. Although Graham might be their backup point guard, I'm not really sure. But a sad situation of hoops down in Charlotte, and interested to see if they're turning like some kind of historic terrible season, or if they might be a little bit better than I'm giving them credit for. Full disclosure, by the way, I did not watch the first half of this game. I was working on finishing up some of the Lions coverage on Wednesday from the Detroit News. Check out my story about Kirk Cousins of Holland and Michigan State University in Thursday's print edition of the Detroit News, also online at detnews.com. And my Don Muehlbach story ran online on detnews.com as well. That'll run in the print edition sometime this week. And, yeah, all the Lions coverage you can possibly want. Check out Justin Rogers, by the way, of the Detroit News. He's kind of the full-time beat writer for the news, and I back him up on a freelance basis there. But guy works hard, just like all those beat guys do. And if you're a Lions person, you should definitely be following Justin Rogers, reading all of his work. Don't just read the tweets, by the way. Justin writes great stuff, really insightful. And read the stories. Give it a click. All that good stuff. It's worth it. You'll learn something, which is nice. It's always nice to learn something. But, yeah. Didn't watch the first half of this game, so sounds like I missed the best part of Joe Johnson's preseason, so apologies to the 38-year-old for that. But where are we going from here? The season in the NBA starts on Tuesday with a TNT doubleheader. There are some more preseason games that are going on today and Friday, but the real basketball gets started on Tuesday with New Orleans and Toronto, and a little bit of banner celebrations for our friends from the North. And then, of course, Zion Williamson's debut in primetime on TNT, followed by the Lakers at the Clippers, not messing around, which is a surprising matchup to me because they're meeting again on Christmas. The Christmas Day matchups were announced well before the opening day matchups. Am I the only one who thinks that's weird that they don't save that Christmas matchup featured, you know, time slot for the first time that those teams meet in the season? I thought that was bizarre that they did that. But that's what they're going to do. And check it out. I'm excited for NBA basketball, just like you guys are as well. Pistons open up a week from yesterday, so a week this coming Wednesday on the road at the Indiana Pacers, followed by the home opener the following night on Thursday against the Atlanta Hawks. Buy one, get one free tickets for that. Kind of embarrassing, but that's the thing that's happening. Check it out on Pistons.com, followed by home games on Saturday night against the Philadelphia 76ers, and then on Monday, once again, against the Indiana Pacers, two of the first four games of the season against the Indiana Pacers. But Indochino, it's the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Indochino, I-N-D-O, Chino, C-H-I-N-O.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Up next, talking about your three biggest takeaways from the preseason for the Pistons. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we were going to talk about that 15th spot on the roster, the most important spot that needs to be determined, obviously the make or miss for the entire season. I kid a little bit, but obviously an important decision for the front office and coaching staff to make in these next few days. And we'll talk about the name that's out there in the rumor mill that might be the casualty in the 15th spot decision coming up very soon. But some big takeaways from the preseason. Let's start with the centers. How about Andre Drummond? I think he looks good. He's trying to do too much offensively. I'm going to chalk a little bit at least up to this is kind of what Andre does during preseason. He throws up the three-pointers. He tries to get maybe a little bit too aggressive offensively. Basically, if you listen to the show, you know where I'm at with Andre. Anytime he drives or puts up any kind of jumper, it's too much. He's just not good at it. But at this point, if he's doing it in the third quarter of preseason game number five at Charlotte, I'm taking it as a good sign. I think he's got that motor running. Maybe it was that one beer a day diet he was doing in the offseason. I don't know what it is, but he's looking good. Obviously, the contract year might play a part in that. He's got the big dollar signs in his eyes of what he wants to get this offseason from Detroit or otherwise. Averaged 14.8 points and 10.3 rebounds in the four preseason games that he did play. Like I said, didn't see the first half of tonight's game, but saw the second half, liked the energy, and again, trying to do too much, trying to be a player that he's not. But you'd rather see that than lethargy. You'd rather see that than the alternative in terms of not enough activity. So enough, a good amount of activity, some good action from Andre. We know that we're hearing that he's going to have the ball in his hands a little bit more in terms of getting the passing going like he did a couple years ago under Stan Van Gundy. A negative for him, though, from the free throw line. He struggled in the preseason, 11 of 24, 46%. Not great, Bob, especially because we've seen Andre make some strides in that department the last couple of years. So we'll chalk that up to preseason and hope that the freebies fall for Dre when the lights come on. The number two solid positive for the Pistons in the preseason is Christian Wood. Of course, we're a broken record on him. In my mind, he is on the team. I'm just going to blindly cross my fingers and close my eyes and hope the front office doesn't blow this one completely. Laz Jackson, one of our favorite guys in the Pistons world, Twitter world, Pistons media world, all that good stuff. He mentioned that he's got a source that says it's pretty much a done deal that he made the team, and he's got to. There's no way Christian Wood cannot make this team. We'll lose our minds here on the Locked On Pistons podcast if that's what happens in favor of Joe Johnson. But Wood did himself a favor this preseason, playing all five games, averaging 13.2 points and 7.2 rebounds per game. Good percentages efficiency-wise. Hit a couple of threes as well, showed no hesitation in throwing up the five attempts he did, made two of them. Active, gives a crap, blocked four shots. Yeah, there's shortcomings. There's things he doesn't do well. We'll see if he can rebound well enough. We'll see how good the rim protection is ultimately, but really a prospect that you want to keep an eye on. Certainly better than some of the prospects that we'll talk about in the last segment as someone who might be losing their place on the Pistons roster going forward. I'll give you a 2.5 of the three things that I liked in the preseason, and that 2.5 thing is Derrick Rose. He played well. I think he'll be good for this team. I want to be clear about that. I think he's an upgrade over Ish Smith in the second unit. No doubt about that. Injury history notwithstanding. I know that I've rode him a little bit on this show, and it might continue to happen, and the Rose stands will probably still come after me. I already blocked one of them on Twitter. But he's been really good in this preseason, and if that's what we're getting, the kind of Derrick Rose you get for 82, you got to feel good about that. I am not looking forward to the Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose bickering between those two sides about who should be starting, who should be playing down the stretch. We'll see how that goes. Good to have more bad players than or good players than bad players. So obviously having Derrick Rose helps. And if there's someone who could push Reggie Jackson for starting minutes or any kind of minutes or closing minutes, and we saw that Tim Frazier is someone who could be capable of swallowing up a few of those minutes from time to time. And of course, when there's some inevitable load management days for Derrick Rose and maybe even for Reggie Jackson as well, feel pretty good about the point guard position coming into this season. But I don't feel great about either as a lead guard, especially going forward into the years ahead, as far as what you would hope that the Pistons would be building towards in terms of the point guard position. Certainly Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose, both of them at this stage in the career, aren't the ultimate answer for this team at point guard. But I think Bruce Brown should be someone that they think about grooming towards that position next year and a little bit in this year as well. The third thing that I want to touch on the preseason, a little bit of the negatives, and we'll give three of them here. Blake looks like he's not at full strength right now after the meniscus surgery that he had on the knee. Maybe he'll play his way into it. Certainly no reason to panic yet. Reggie Jackson, he was garbage. Not a great thing there. But I'm not going to get worked up about veterans looking rusty. We know both those guys have injury history, but we'll just kind of hope that they're being managed correctly. Wanted to stretch out the body a little bit and get themselves out there and are doing whatever they can behind the scenes to get themselves ready for 82. Probably not 82 for those guys. Hopefully more like 70 or so for both of those guys, and only because we're resting and not injured. But something to keep an eye on, something to be worried about a little bit heading into Wednesday night. And the third thing, just kind of rotations in general, talking about Sekou Doumbouya, even Jordan Bone. Rookies kind of need that wake-up call of getting out there in exhibition games and looking out of sorts, looking lost a little bit. Need those preseason minutes to kind of hammer that home, and they couldn't get it. Dwayne Casey couldn't find a way. Not even talking about the G League guys, the Exhibit 10 guys, but Sekou, the 15th pick of the draft, no time like the present to get him out there against real NBA players. I mean, he didn't come in until 6-7 minutes left in the game, and either of the games that he got into or the think about the three of the five games he did get into, maybe four, but not good. I don't understand that. Inexcusable to me. Again, not a huge deal, not something we're going to rail on Dwayne Casey about, but don't understand how the 18-year-old can't get in there and start getting used to NBA talent, start getting used to NBA speed, start getting used to NBA defense and offense, and start figuring out what he needs to be figuring out. Obviously, talking about Sekou and Jordan Bone, those guys are going to be playing the predominant parts of their season with the Grand Rapids Drive, as they should. It should be something that the Pistons take seriously in terms of developing their talent, and I believe that they will. I think that's a good move. But with the preseason, with nothing to lose, I find a hard time believing that they couldn't get more minutes for the Sekou Doumbouyas and Jordan Bones of the world. Thinking back to that comeback against Dallas, the comeback against Cleveland, is it really matter? Is it really important? I know you want to build up the culture. I know you want to get some wins under your belt. Obviously, you'd rather win than lose. But, man, I feel like it's a missed opportunity to not get Sekou Doumbouya. Some run out there in the preseason. Didn't quite understand the rotations for Dwayne Casey. Especially a guy who we'll talk about a little bit next that didn't get run as well. But one more positive, no real injuries other than possibly something to be concerned about with Blake Griffin and the knee and the hamstring that was talked about for his reason for missing these games this week. Possibly Reggie, not really sure what's going on with him. But we don't know anything official on those guys in terms of injuries, so I'm going to choose to be positive on that for now until further notice. With a week that should be good for all those guys to kind of do whatever they need to do to get ready for the season, whether that's strengthening up certain things, getting off their feet, resting in the purest sense, or just getting that condition up in other ways. But if your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here, right now, on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Get your company connected with this audience. Email me at Matt_Shook, that's S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com, or email Locked, L-O-C-K-E-D, at LockedOnPodcasts.com to get more details about increasing your business. Up next, we are going to talk about the 15th spot on the roster and the odd man out who could be coming up in the next couple of days. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and we are looking for your bold predictions for the season. Bold, semi-bold, very vanilla, whatever you got. 810-666-1546. Use the Google voicemail line to get a hold of us. Now, through the preseason, it appears from we're using our eyes, using some logic, connecting some dots, Khyree Thomas appears to be very, very far outside the rotation, and he may be on his way out of town. We know that Joe Johnson and Christian Wood kind of came into the preseason as the believed players to be going for that 15th spot, as they both have non-guaranteed contracts. Khyree Thomas has a guaranteed contract for this season. However, it's only $1.4 million, so something to keep in mind there. So, you know, what do? Do you just outright cut Khyree Thomas and give him his release and still eat that $1.4 million of not only cash but also cap space as well that you're pissing down the drain? Khyree Thomas played 12 minutes in the preseason. He scored 5 points. He had 2 DNPs, including tonight when they were without several backcourt players, both point guards, Luke Kennard. There were minutes available in the backcourt. There is no doubt about that. And if they've decided to trade him or release him, that's fine. I get it. But on the other hand, put him out there. Give him a chance to put some tape out there, show something to a team that might be looking for him. Now, obviously, if they've got some trades talked about, maybe the consideration is that they don't want him to get hurt in the game on Wednesday night. That might be part of it too. But, you know, if they do trade him, if they're able to do that, what's a great return? I think that basically at this point, anything is a great return. You're not dealing in a position of strength if you're talking about either waiving a guy or trading a guy and getting something small for him. So usually I would say a standard second round pick would be a good one, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think you might get a heavily protected second round pick, something like that, a pick swap of second round picks down the line, something that's very favorable for the trading partner that you're dealing with in terms of what the pick situation would be. Other options, like I said, the straight release, although they're so close to the tax line that might not be smart. I believe that there's no guarantees for his next year on his deal, so that's a complete team option there. The early bird rights and Keith Smith's cap sheets, which I believe are the two best sites for this kind of stuff, they say that those contracts are non-guaranteed. Hoops Hype, by the way, did say that it is guaranteed for next year, but I find that that's probably the most unreliable of those cap sheets out there. Hoops Hype does present it a little bit easier, and it looks more attractive if you're looking at it on a laptop or desktop computer. But I do find that the early bird rights, Jeff Siegel runs those, and also Keith Smith's cap sheet. Shout to those guys. Check them out. Give them follows on Twitter if you want to get into the cap salary minutia of the NBA. Definite Twitter follows for Jeff Siegel and Keith Smith. So check out those guys. So like I said, straight release is going to get you a $1.4 million cap hit this year. I don't believe that you can stretch if there's 1 year left in the contract. I've been reading up on this a little bit tonight on Larry Kuhn's NBA, CBA, FAQ, a lot of acronyms there. But on one hand, I think if a player has 1 year left on a deal, you can't stretch it after August 31st. But that's not an option. However, there might be a provision that you can use the non-guaranteed year that he has next year and use it in that mechanism as a second-year deal, so you can stretch out just the 1 year of guaranteed money over 5 years. But I think that that's not possible in this situation because if it's a team option as opposed to a non-guaranteed contract. I wish I knew the answer for you guys completely. I'm going to guess, my small brain who can't figure this one out, is going to guess no, that stretching is not an option for them. But someone who's smarter than me might be able to hit me up in my Twitter mentions and tell me if it's possible for them to stretch. Because there was, in Larry Kuhn's FAQ, there was a provision that they talked specifically about someone who had non-guaranteed money in a second year that you were able to stretch out for the times two plus one, which would be 5 years if it's a two-year contract, even though it's only 1 year of guaranteed money. But like I said, because I think that Kyrie's next year of 2020-2021 of that contract, since it's a team option, I believe that they won't be able to stretch it. But like I said, hit me up if you know better than me on that. So could be possible to shift that $1.4 million over 5 years if you're able to stretch it. Again, I don't think that's the case. And that's usually not a good idea for such a small amount of money. But it might be a good idea if it's possible for the Pistons because they're up against the tax this year already. So it could be a way to get a relief of a few $100,000 on this year's cap. And also because they might have a little bit more cap room going forward. I know it's not good to put dead money for years and years down the road, but it might be something worth considering if they can do it, especially when you think about the $5.3 million of dead money that will be coming off the books next year in the form of Joe Smith. Yes, that's right. This is the last Josh Smith. Sorry, not Joe Smith. Apologies to another ex-Piston in Joe Smith. So that's right. This is the last year $5.3 million is on the books for Josh Smith. That will be gone next year. So like I said, if you can stretch this contract out or maybe another contract down the road that they'll think about stretching out, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because you have that $5.3 million coming off the books. Never a good thing to sacrifice a little bit, mortgage a little bit of the future, but it might be a decent idea for the Pistons in this year, in this particular situation, or other situations that could be coming up this season. So, again, wrap it all up. Pretty sure stretching is not an option in the Kyrie Thomas case. So sorry for the tease there, but possibly it is. So I wanted to throw it out there in case someone out there who is smarter than me might be able to correct me. So, again, this is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're kind of closing the door with the preseason here. We're going to talk to some of the rival teams in the Central Division, looking for some other interviews as well. I've got a book sitting right in front of me that I'm going to read over these next few days, and then we're going to try to get the author of that book on. If you know what I'm talking about, it's be an exciting interview if we can land this guy. Got his cell phone number, one of the legends of NBA writing out there. So hopefully we'll talk to him soon. And that would be great, an exciting episode as well. So Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll have one more episode up on Friday. And appreciate you guys spreading the word and listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Talk to you guys tomorrow.